Hello, you're listening to Laser Graves, a podcast where we dig up movies, music, books, and events from the 80s and discuss how rad they were.
Welcome to Dogs, starring Lord of the Dogs.
that was your introduction?
Yep.
All right, well.
Let's talk about dogs.
That's your co-host, Tootsie Roll, over there.
No, that's not a new thing.
Okay, so it's Lord of the Dogs.
Okay,
I'm cool with it. I'm E.K. Wimmer, your other co-host, and you're listening to Laser Graves, and that was a sad attempt at letting Mariah introduce. What did you just say? Welcome to Dogs?
Yep, Dogs, exclamation point.
Okay, well, this podcast is not called Dogs, but welcome. this week, we're talking about a movie, and
yeah,
we were going to do two tonight, but I think we're just doing one, because we've got something special planned for the other one.
Okay.
But this week, we're doing an interesting one.
This was bananas.
This was bananas. And this is also the first time. Well, I'll save it, But double butts.
Butt squared.
there's no doubt that most of our listeners have not seen this one, because the odds are
That sounds
pretty rough.
Like elitist.
It's super elitist, because that's what I do when I go thrift store hunting, is I'm like, oh, there's no way anybody's ever seen this or read this.
Okay.
We're doing this.
What are we doing?
I'm not telling you.
Oh.
It's a secret.
Secrets. Do you remember Snoop Secrets?
I do.
Okay.
Missed that. Those were good. I was just talking about Snoop today, because of Lollapalooza, when he was in Phoenix, and it was like 120 degrees out.
That's too hot.
Too hot. Okay, well, we're consistent Laser Graves intro.
Oh, hey, when Snoop is having like a frank discussion, do you think he says, "Let me be blunt"?
Tootsie okay. Roll with the win.
Quit calling me Tootsie Roll.
So before we get started, thrift store finds?
I don't think I went to a thrift store this week.
Oh, interesting. But you did, what do you call it? Upcycle. Isn't that what the trendy moms call it?
Okay. What did I upcycle?
That free backyard table set that our neighbors gave us.
Oh, yeah. So our neighbors on the other side of our fence, they got new lawn furniture and they saw our lack of lawn furniture. And the guy was like, hey, you guys need a spot. Do you want to take this? And I was like, yes.
Yeah, he said, you guys look sad.
And I said, yes. But he gave us, it's a fine little patio set, but it leaves white chalk on your hands. I don't know why. I think the original paint is just disintegrating slowly. It's probably lead based and we're going
to
die.
I'd like to think it's the traces. It's the death of that patio set. So it's like a chalk outline.
But now, no chalk outline.
It's been given new life.
Cherry red.
Hot red Corvette. Mm-hmm. Ready to be driven.
It's going to be great.
Yep. Well, good job.
Thanks.
Well, okay, so no fines, but a good old mom upscale, right?
Uh-huh.
House refurbishing.
I feel like super hands-on, like DIY, because I did that. And then I also used a drill to drill holes into a big Rubbermaid to make a compost bin. And as I was using the drill, there were two things that went through my mind. First of all, how cool am I drilling? And second of all, holy crap, I almost drilled myself so many times.
Yeah. Life is a drill. And you know what I thought?
Great response.
Is as you were doing that, I thought there should be a banner out front of our house that says, this day is sponsored by Pinterest.
Oh, you know what? Our daughters were both like, whoa, mom, what are you doing? It was so cool.
Speaking of our daughters, so if you go on our social media, which you should, we're shaming you again 2 weeks in a row. Go on our social media, follow us on Instagram at LazyGraves. It's a real clever name. And you'll see that we, for last week's episode, The Inhuman Condition, we've been doing these little, started to do these little video pieces for our Instagram. And this week we involved our daughters. They're getting really into the short films. And so we did fake hands crawling around. So I had them wear black and then used a black backdrop because we don't have green screen, obviously. And they loved every minute of it. And it was super adorable to see our daughters like see the magic of filmmaking. Because our oldest, who's really into it, was like, wait a minute. And she looked at her arm and she looked at the background and she said, if the black blends with the black, it'll look like it's just a hand.
Yeah,
Dad,
she's smart.
You're a genius. And I thought, yes, tell everybody your dad invented this.
Yeah.
So, well, we had fun. You should go see it, though. It's fun. It's just a bunch of little hands running around with the Clive Barker book.
It's cool.
I had a few finds.
Oh, yeah. Hey, hold on. What thrifts or finds did you have this week, Eric?
I knew you were waiting to find out.
You like reciprocal speech. Here it comes.
Okay. I do?
Yeah.
Really?
For sure, dude.
Okay. Well,
most people do. You seem stunned.
I was just waiting for you to respond.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, hey, what did you find at thrift stores this week?
Oh, thanks for asking. You seem into it. I found a record, Love and Rockets, which is Bauhaus minus Peter Murphy. And I found the elusive Goosebumps number 9. It's one of the only books I've been missing.
Why is it number 9? What is it?
It's just number 9. I mean,
no,
the
what's
number
the title?
I don't even remember. I was so excited. I haven't read it yet.
Boo.
But I found that and I was pretty happy. Because I found it once at an antique store and they wanted $4 for it and I was offended. I was like, I'll find this on my own. Thank you very much.
Those are in antique stores now?
Goosebumps, yeah. They're pretty collectible.
Okay.
Okay. I had a find today on the way home. I stopped at the thrift store on the way home because I got out early.
Guess you say?
Well, I didn't get out early, but I just went to work early and got out. I found The Satanic Rites of Dracula, which is an old 1970s film. I so excited.
Incroyable.
Yeah, I was very happy. But, okay, well, that's that. That was my amazing finds of the week.
Such gems. Yeah. And tomorrow, we're going to get up early. Every Saturday, we do vegan donuts at a donut store in Albuquerque. And then we're going to there's like a major community-wide yard sale that we're going to hit up with our kids. So brace yourselves for finds with 3 Z's.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it next week.
Oh my goodness, it's going to be such hot stuff.
All right, let's get to this week. This week is a funky little film called...
Funky, yeah.
Get Crazy, 1983.
Oh man, I meant to bring in the film in so we could read the title.
Oh, the tagline. Oh, it's good.
So good.
Okay, let's put it on hold and go.
Okay, so I made it back from our VHS storage vault.
Yeah, the Laser Graves VHS vault.
So, okay, I have the VHS in front of me. It has a girl who is not in the movie on any level, but she is wearing like a super tight half shirt, like a half white or a white like tank top. Tied at her midriff, a little skirt. She's got on socks, blue shoes. She's riding a red guitar, and she's using the strings, like pulling them back, like it's like a horse going, whoa!
Yeah.
And then she's got a martini with a sparkle on it. And in the background, there are fireworks. And then the tagline of Get Crazy is, get crazy. It's your last chance to party. Say goodbye to your brain.
So
I did say goodbye to my brain.
A little backstory on that one, where I found this, because this is in the box art is in perfect condition, including the original little pink comedy sticker on the front. But it is in beautiful condition. Since I've owned this, I have looked on eBay because I've never found it.
Mm-hmm. Is it worth $1 billion?
Well, tonight is the very first night. Right before we were coming in, I looked it up just to see.
That's nutty.
And it was listed for the first time I've ever seen. And it's a really crappy beat up box, like real faded and, mm-hmm. and ripped up. And it's starting bid with 6 days to go, starting at $25. So
let's start this one.
I was surprised. So why I brought that up and why I said, you know, it's hard to find is because, you know, you can make fun of VHS if you want, but there are instances, and this is the prime example, where this has literally never been released on any other format. It's never been on DVD, Blu-ray. It's never been on any digital
streaming. Has it been
streaming.
On film?
It was on film, but
okay, so
it came out on this VHS short run and it was never seen again. So the odds of seeing it, to my knowledge, are extremely slim, which means that going back to my intro,
my elitist intro,
is that's not why we were doing this. We're doing this because the cover is awesome and we had never seen it.
We purely chose to record on this because of the cover.
Yeah, but basically there's a good chance you've never seen it. However, if you get a chance, see it because it is
it's a
classic
jam.
80s. It's got everything crammed in there. I loved
it. It's very rewarding and definitely say goodbye to your brain.
Yeah, definitely. Let's get into it. 1983, Get Crazy, mm-hmm. directed by Alan Arkash or Arkash.
Arkash.
I looked them up. His a lot of TV, but mm-hmm. the one that I thought you would be interested in that came out right before this was Rock and Roll High School with the Ramones.
Mm.
So he did those kind of back-to-back.
Yeah, makes sense.
But then he went into a ton of TV and he's still working.
Is he doing, like CSI Miami?
Like everything. No, I was kind of surprised. It's everything, like real big ones. But
Game of Thrones.
Who knows?
And New Girl. I think that's it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
But that's who directed it. It's got an interesting cast.
All mid-level star?
Well, it's got a lot of cameos that you don't know are cameos. There's a lot of like old 60s pop stars that are in it. I didn't even write down their names because there's so many of them.
Hmm.
But they were like bubblegum pop kind of guys. The big ones that I wrote down, Howard Kalin, who's in the Turtles. He is the guy who was Captain Cloud, who rides the magical bus.
Oh!
So he's
yeah.
from the Turtles. And then the big one that I recognized, and I was looking at you and I said, I think, and I was like on my phone while we were watching it,
mm-hmm.
because I recognized him, but I thought there's no way, is Malcolm McDowell, who plays this like T-Rex kind of...
You didn't know that was Malcolm McDowell?
No, I'm getting to it.
Oh, okay.
Malcolm McDowell plays like a glam rock guy, and his band,
mm-hmm.
the drummer, goes on this ridiculous drum solo for a long time.
Wait.
But
who
that's John Densmore from The Doors.
Okay.
So it just, there's a lot of cameos in this, and I thought that was really fun because
yeah.
it's just got, but the big ones are Lou Reed is in it. We'll get to them. There's
yes.
a bunch.
There's one that's more important than any
yeah.
other that I caught right away.
You did. And I still don't know his name, but I know what we'll be referring to him as forever.
Yeah, forever.
Okay. So disclaimer on this one. This film is so insane.
It's chaos.
It's pure 80s chaos. And it took me a good 15 minutes to maybe find the language of the film. But then once I did...
I like that. Find the language.
Well, you know, they were like speaking yeah. their own language. But then once I figured out the rhythm of it,
yeah.
I was like, oh, it makes perfect sense. But for the first 15 minutes, I was complete disarray. Like, it was pure chaos. And
yeah, you don't really have a spot to gain a toehold here.
I didn't even know what to write about. And then once the film went on, I mm-hmm. thought, I'm not giving the impression that it let up after 15 minutes.
No.
It's just that I understood the organized chaos.
Yeah. So do you want me to just kind of outline what happens very generally?
If the synopsis of the film.
And then we can walk them through it. Yeah. Don't read the back.
Okay.
I'll just say generally what happens is it's a New Year's Eve party. They are about to ring in the year 1983. There's going to be a concert. A bad guy wants to take over the lease where this concert is being held. He decides New Year's Eve is the day to do it.
Yeah.
There are bands playing. And that's really the whole thing. Like, other stuff happens, but really...
It's just a New Year's Eve party.
Yeah,
it's like a classic party movie.
Yep. Okay, so...
Yeah. You would think it's that easy to understand, but it's not.
So it starts actually in space, because it starts with a spaceship entering final approach, and you're like, I thought I was watching a party movie, and it's like final approach, and then you realize that the control panel is made out of papers, and it's not actually like a real spaceship, and it crashes into the big 83. And then this is sort of when it unfolds that this is not actually a space landing, but instead cool prep for a New Year's Eve party.
Yeah, it's preparations at the club. And it's the club owner who's riding the rocket.
His name is Max.
Yeah.
And then this is when we also meet the real star of the show.
Well, before you even get into it, because you're about to.
I'm so excited.
I'll just give you a little, like... There's a gag in there that happens first where this lady hits some button and it blows up a guy's face, like Inspector Gadget style, to where his face is like turns like charcoal black and his hair's shot out.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, take that, and calls him something really funny. But it's a gag that you will see come up repeatedly in three movies that our star was in.
Oh. Yeah.
Because it was very much this kind of...
Well, and the explosion is on the nephew of Max, the club owner.
Yeah.
And
who's like a dirtbag who wants to...
He just
to, like,
wants money.
He wants to sell it and get the money.
So, and then we meet the hero.
Yes.
Who, he's got this like nerdy, dreamboat, kind of awkward fellow quality.
I thought he was cute back then.
He was kind of cute.
I would have never thought he was a
cutie. I would have had a crush on him. Yeah. However, his future was as a wet bandit from Home Alone.
That's
and I'm
right.
Like, Eric, it's a wet bandit.
It is a wet bandit.
It's not Joe Pesci. That was the other one, right?
Okay, here's his name.
Something Stern, right?
Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern. So he was kind of like dreamy, but in a kind of
like
nerdy way.
Yeah.
So but he's wearing like a vest.
He's going to be the wet bandit throughout this whole podcast.
Also the wet bandit. He was wearing a vest. And I was like, man, vests are cool.
Vests are really cool.
And then while I was picking up the girls from school, there was a mother who I think she was like wait staff, but she was wearing a vest. And I was like, I got to get a vest. Anyway, so back to the wet bandit.
Mess with the vest. Dialect the rest.
And we learn he's like a stage manager. So he's kind of in charge of all the behind the scenes stuff for this 83 New Year's Eve party. Mm-hmm. There's also a random poodle kick.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The nephew
kicks a poodle.
Yeah. He kicks a poodle, but it's not like a, I feel sad for the poodle kick. The poodle goes like flying through the air and it gets its revenge later. Don't worry. But he kicks a poodle for no reason. And I think that's kind of when I realized, oh, this is the movie we're watching.
What would you compare it to for people who have not seen this? What style of comedy or zaniness would you?
A kind of 80s slapstick? I don't know. Are you like asking for a touchstone of like what it's like?
Well, just to set a context, I think I can hit like... The nail
okay,
on the head.
Okay, so you're just, it's rhetorical question.
Well, no, because I wanted to know if it, like, reminded you of anything.
No.
For me, it would be very much in the vein of Airplane, like, spoof. Mm. And also, like, or Naked Gun, like that really over-the-top slapstick where everything's happening constantly. It's
except for without, what's his name?
Leslie Nielsen.
Ugh, he's the worst.
He is not the worst.
I mean, I'm sure he's a lovely person, but I don't like his movies.
He's dead, right?
Oh, good. Then I don't feel
no,
so bad.
No, I don't know. I just made that up.
Is he?
I don't know. He's just been... He's like... what's his name? Patrick Stewart from X-Men and Star Trek?
No.
He's been old his whole life. He was born bald.
Patrick Stewart is a gem.
Just as Leslie Nielsen was born with white hair. I'm sure he was born looking like an old man.
Okay, so thankfully this is... Leslie Nielsen free.
Not thankfully, but...
would have said no.
There's a daydream with an 80s babe that we get introduced to with the biggest hair
the world like has ever seen. It's like a black curly triangle.
It is triangle head for sure. It's like Angelica from Rugrats. The sister. She has that triangle hair, right?
I don't think that's Angelica. Somebody from Rugrats, though.
Who has the triangle hair on Rugrats?
I don't know.
Maybe it's one of the twins.
Because Angelica has blonde hair. like oh, in pigtails. Yeah.
Whoa, that was a fail on my part.
So bad. Okay, so while you look this up on your phone, I'm going to say that the curly babe comes in, and she was previously the stage manager. She comes in, but current stage manager, a.k.a. the wet bandit, he looks at her and falls into a strange dream sequence where she's wearing like negligee. He's in a Tarzan suit, and he's giving like a piggyback to a chimpanzee whose butthole is enormous. Did you notice that? And he puts his hands on it as he's like helping him. And I was like, stop, hand sanitizer.
I didn't look.
Ugh. It's, how could you not? It's big and red.
Gross. But follow up.
Okay.
I don't think there was anybody with triangle hair in Rugrats. I think I'm thinking a different cartoon.
Real monsters. Okay, so no. he goes into a fantasy sequence and then pops out of it and just has to have like a normal interaction.
Yeah, and then we are introduced to the bad guys.
And we know they're the bad guys because it tells us.
There's a tagline that says, the bad guys. And there's three guys in a helicopter, and they're talking like the agents in The Matrix. Like,
yeah.
So you want to? I do. So what are you saying? I will say that. They're like finishing each other's sentences, mm-hmm. rapid fire, and it's hilarious.
But who is one of the bad guys?
Oh, you know who one of the bad guys is.
Mm-hmm. Future environmentalist Ed Begley Jr.
He is hamming it up in this.
He is very blonde, and he is wearing silver, which reflects the light from his blonde hair.
Yes.
Their helicopter blows a bunch of chicks' clothes off.
Oh, yeah, that was really cool. As it's landing... And it's like the wind, the propellers are causing mm-hmm. like a lot of wind, and there's like random women and their dresses just blow off. It was so 80s.
Super 80s. And then he and his like posse go in, and they offer $1 million for the lease of the club from Max, the owner of said club.
It is called the, what's the name of the club?
I don't even know.
No, there's a name. I'll figure it out.
Figure it out, man. Okay. But they want to, I'm looking at the back thing. I don't know. So they want to buy Ed Begley wants to get the lease for the club so he can build like a sky rise or something. And then...
we'll find out later what he wants to build Max, in very dramatic fashion.
Oh, yeah. Max passes on this, and then he also passes out. And a doctor comes and tells him it's super serious. And Max believes them and, like, thinks he's dying. But we realize right away that Max is not actually dying. The doctor just told him he is, so he'll chill out for a little bit.
Did you talk about the glass door entrance?
No.
When Ed Begley Jr. Enters.
Who is Ed Begley Sr.?
I don't... his dad.
Well, Doy.
So he's coming up with his, like, henchmen from the helicopter after the girl's dress has been blown off. Mm-hmm. And he's walking up. And I think it's the nephew or whoever's trying to get it. And he's like, oh,
yes.
Hey, sir, blah, blah, blah. And he's really like, Mr. Beverly, oh, you're so important.
Yeah.
Come on in. And instead of opening the door, he busts the glass door open and lets him walk through it.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is the type of movie we're watching.
Honestly, by this point, I had just accepted where this movie was going.
I was all in by that mm-hmm. point.
So, yeah, that was the nephew of Max, who definitely wants cash, doesn't care about a club. Anyway, so the doctor leaves him with some meds, but it's like nonsense medication, like Tylenols, basically. And then I wrote Electric Larry?
Larry, yeah. Okay, so the stage crew wants drugs. So what happens is the doctor comes to check on Max's health because he has like a heart attack or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some stagehand who's like trying to sneak in the doctor's bag and steals a bunch of pills.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the doctor leaves, they're like, divvy him up, man, divvy. What'd you get? And he's like, oh, we didn't get anything good. Yeah. We need drugs. And then
that's right.
This character who's reoccurring through the film named Electric Larry, who is... like, he's like a cowboy wrapped in silver.
No, he's wearing all black.
Oh, he's got a silver, though, too.
Mm, black hat, red eyes, black, like, face mask.
He's like a robot cowboy, and he's got this briefcase that has electrical charges around it. And he opens it up, and it's like a cocktail of every drug. And then
like
they,
weird magic drugs.
Yeah, and then they take them, and then it's like the next scene is them in fast forward setting up the sets. Yeah. Like they're all like coked
out. Yeah, they're like speed up. So it's like fast motion setting up for the show, and they get it all ready on time because drugs. And then we learn that the nephew's super jazzed because he thinks Max is going to die. And if Max dies, he'll inherit. And so he like runs, gets on the helicopter with Ed Begley Jr., who's leaving. And he's like first going to be dissed, but Ed Begley Jr. quickly realizes that this nephew guy's going to inherit. And so he lets him on the helicopter, hears him out. He's told to get Max to sign the lease, and then they just hand him a parachute and shove him out of the helicopter.
So cool. And that's when I wrote my note is, this movie was made on a lot of drugs.
I feel like it was. And then hippies arrive.
Right.
Like,
this is where we get the guy from the Turtles.
Yeah. 1960s hippies. They have like a bus. There's hippie music, a lot of potheads. It's like a traveling caravan that came straight out of like 1968. Into 1982, at the end of the year. They come, and I wrote here, what is even going on?
Yeah.
Basically.
Oh, by the way, the theater's called the Saturn. Mm. So it's like this.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Welcome back to this podcast.
Well, no, I just wanted to make sure I told you.
The Saturn.
It's really important.
It's out of this world, man.
It is.
Okay, so then Max is being carried around on a bed. He's like really embracing this deathbed business, but he's got the show must go on kind of situation. So he thinks he's dying. The hippies are around. It's just basically chaos. And then also there's a lot of goats and a lot of hippies. Did you even notice all of the goats like, meh, meh, meh.
I didn't.
I was like, what are we watching?
I didn't. But this is when we get the other bands start to arrive. And we realize
yes.
that everybody's coming to the venue to play the big New Year's party. And this is...
Well, we should say that the hippies think that they're supposed to play, but they were scheduled to play 13
yeah,
years
before. But they're
going to
be allowed to play, apparently, even
they're
though they
gonna
never
They're going
to
close it out. Yeah, they don't.
They don't, because we know who closes it.
Mm-hmm. So the first band to arrive is Nada.
It's the who's who of awesome. Like, the door
you
opens...
You looked it up, right?
I think she had what the total was a 21-piece band. They all get out of one car, which
it's
is hilarious.
Just a car.
And it's
like
metalheads, glam, punk, new wave. It is, and it was intended because it's a comedy, but it's supposed to be kind of a spoof on every kind of trend of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
I would buy every single album Nada
They would have
wrote
been my favorite band.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's like Nada is the lead singer and it's her band. And then we also meet Piggy.
Yes. So once the band, it's mostly babes. Is it all women getting out? I think it is.
Yeah, it's
a bunch of
women. It's
an
all-woman band.
They all get out of the car, and then somebody lets Piggy out of the trunk.
Yeah, he gets out and starts smashing his head on everything.
Yes.
Just so you know, Piggy is a real-life frontman.
So, yeah, he's like a punk dude. He's got on pants and
yeah.
and then he's like bleeding out of wounds.
His name's Lee Ving. In real life, he's the lead singer of Fear, which this is like hardcore punk band from the 80s.
Okay.
There's so several of the band members are in the film.
He kicks cans, he headbutts a wall for
yeah,
a while.
It's so funny.
And then he is asked to sign the contract because I think he's also the band's manager.
I don't know.
But then they put the contract on the trunk of the car and he just headbutts it and crushes in the trunk of the car.
Yeah, it's so cool.
And then we go to this whole side story that has almost no relevance, but
I loved it. It was hilarious. It was
the fire marshal.
Oh no, I was thinking the blues funeral.
Nope.
Okay,
then we have the fire marshal who comes in and we learn he's real serious about fire rules. And
yeah.
That guy's familiar from something. I'm gonna guess he's on an episode of X-Files. Only because basically everyone on TV was on X-Files.
Oh,
at
gosh.
Some point. So, and then we go to the blues funeral.
Yeah, so there is a guitar set up at a funeral, and mm-hmm. it's the greatest guitar, you know, blues player, and they're all sitting around, and they're burying him, but they're like, we got to get to the show tonight.
But it's also a bunch of men with, like, walking sticks, because they're all blind.
Yeah, and then There's some guy who, I think he was related to the guy who's being buried or whatever.
He's a his guitarist. Son.
And he's like, call me cool from now on.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, oh, cool.
I wish I would have thought of that as yeah. a nickname.
And then the blues guy, what is his name? He's got a blues.
King Blues.
King Blues. So King Blues, he's kind of like a spoof on like Muddy Waters or, you know, B.B. King or something like that. But he tells Cool, get in the car, we're going to go play, you're going to be my guitarist.
Because mm-hmm. he has to make it to his show in spite of this funeral.
And I don't know why this scene happens, but it doesn't really, it fits perfectly in this world. But Cool just smashes this beautiful old car into everything.
So yeah, he apparently can't drive.
By the time it arrives, it's like in pieces.
Yeah.
And it has no reason
nope.
for anything.
Nope. No relevance to any form of storyline. And then we go to Lou Reed,
yes.
who plays a character named, like, Auden.
Yeah,
and
Auden.
And he's a metaphysical singer. And Max says it's his deathbed request.
Yeah, because Lou Reed is a shut-in. He's a recluse.
But he's super famous, apparently.
Yeah, but he won't leave the house, and he won't play a show. And mm-hmm. Max is like, think of this as my deathbed favor. And he's like, oh, you said it's your deathbed favor. And then he's like, Lou Reed in this film is hilarious, by the way.
He's just himself. But I feel like he was just confused about what was happening, and they're like, just walk this direction. Just
but he's kind of a
words.
Spoof on Bob Dylan is what he's playing. Like,
I think he's just a spoof on himself.
Kind of, but he sings through the whole film. He just he narrates what's happening in real life. So
yeah,
he's
he
like,
just turns it into a song.
He's on his deathbed, and he's like singing it. And then he's like, I'm walking across the street, and he's just like everything.
No, he doesn't sing it like Bob Dylan. He sings it like Lou Reed.
Right, but it's the like narration of everything mm-hmm. that he says. There's one part where he's, he's saying it's hard for me to use the phone. And then he starts singing, it's hard for me to use the phone. And then like, and then he goes, oh, that's pretty good. And then he starts singing a song called It's Hard for Me to Use the Phone. I love
you
this.
Related. I related.
Oh, the whole Lou Reed sub story in this film was hilarious.
Yes. And then he walks out the door of his apartment. Does that happen right now where he's leaving?
Yeah, and he gets a taxi and then starts singing about getting a taxi.
Well, but he walks in all these cars, like he's just completely oblivious. And cars are like turning off the road, running into fire hydrants or whatever, because he's not paying attention.
He's just playing his guitar and walking across the street.
And singing nonsense.
Yes.
And then he gets a taxi to go to the show.
Yeah.
And then we flash to the Wet Bandit. He's on the phone with his baby sister. And she really wants to go to the show. And then she calls her friend Debbie. Her friend Debbie, I don't think Debbie ever makes it to the show, does she?
No, I don't think Debbie does, but the sister does.
Okay, so his baby sister, who lives at home with her parents, is like a 30-year-old full-blown woman.
Like an 80s hipster.
But she's apparently playing a teenager who lives with her parents.
She's just an 80s babe in a Ramones shirt.
And she's obsessed with... Was it Wanker that she's obsessed with or Auden?
Well, Auden is... Oh, no, Wanker.
Okay,
yeah.
So she's obsessed with a musician who's going to be playing at the show. We'll get to Wanker, don't worry.
I need to back up because I have no context for this, but I wrote down a quote.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a quote in here where it says... Oh, it's a friend that's speaking.
Debbie?
And says... No, it says you better take care of him. Oh, I think it's when the blues guys are talking. He says, you better take care of him. I'm going to wax your ass.
Yeah, that's way back at the funeral. He actually didn't say wax your ass. He said, I'm going to wax God's ass.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
No, he says, God. Oh, that's right. He's talking to God. Here's the quote. He says, God, you better take care of him when they're burying him.
Oh.
He says, God, you better take care of him or I'm going to wax your ass. And I thought, that was so funny.
It's a strange threat to give the creator.
It's a bummer that I just now realized mm-hmm. I forgot to mention it, but mm-hmm. it was worth mentioning.
That's okay. I had it noted too, but you kind of blew past it. So I was like, I guess we won't mention the waxing.
Well, luckily we can go back and talk about things.
No.
Yeah. We
passed
just did.
It. Okay, so the Wet Bandit's baby sister is talking to her friend Debbie, who is in a bathtub. And Debbie says she has to go to a nerdy party, and they both agree they should skip this nerdy party to go see Auden. And then when they're done with their phone conversation, well, first of all, while they're on their phone conversation, Wet Bandit baby sister has a poster on her wall and a tongue comes out of the poster. No backstory. That's just all. And then when
it's
Debbie...
It's very Nightmare on Elm Street Part 1. Remember when the tongue comes out of the phone?
Yes.
Remember Dr. Caligari?
Ugh.
When the tongue... Okay.
And then her friend, Naked Debbie, who's in a bath, she hangs up the phone and we learn two things. Naked Debbie's brother sells tickets to spy on her in the bath because there's a bunch of kids on a ladder staring at her and they fall off. And then also some guy in like scuba gear comes up out of the tub.
That's her boyfriend. He comes up out of the scuba gear and she's like, I gotta go. He's here now. But he was in scuba gear in the bathtub with
her. And there's nothing more. I don't think we see Debbie again.
No, but there is a scene. It goes, there's a cut back to at some point Lou Reed singing in the taxi. And then somebody says, oh, he's singing Deathbed Request. he's a Deathbed Request. And then somebody goes, he's a genius.
And then we go to the other musician who is en route, Reggie Wanker.
Reggie Wanker. He's in a plane.
He's on a crazy plane.
And it's doing loops and flying upside down and they're all doing cocaine.
There's like an arcade. So it's just Reggie Wanker and his girlfriend like making out on a plane in like a white bubble. And then like I guess the band or whoever is playing the arcade. And there's also a bunch of nude women there and some axes and cocaine. The plane, then I think the band takes over the plane.
Yeah, they do. They take over the plane and start doing barrel rolls.
They log roll and then just eventually commit to driving the plane or flying the plane upside,
upside down.
And head to Max's show.
So we should say, who's Reggie Wanker? Who's the star of the show?
Oh, what's his name?
Malcolm McDowell.
Malcolm McDowell. Whatever.
She is so good in this film.
Yes.
His presence, what a thespian. He can bring Get Crazy to another level, because the second he enters into the film, he's hilarious.
He's so good.
And then, T-Rex is playing the whole time,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anytime you have T-Rex, it's 100%.
Which I can see why. Okay, so a little behind the scenes. The reason why this has only been released on VHS and no other format is because the soundtrack, I guess, was like a legal headache. And the director said it'll never come out on anything because we can't clear up the rights. And I think it's because they never really got the rights.
So I have a question. If you won $1 billion, would you fight to get this produced in all formats?
I don't think you would even need that. I think you can pitch it to somebody.
Would
and
you
make
need
a claim.
Like $50?
You would just need to clear out the soundtrack. I think that's the only holdup is really the legal side of the soundtrack.
Okay.
But I would love to see it on like Blu-ray or something. I mean, it would be fun for people to see this.
Yeah, ours,
it's great.
Our copy had some issues that were kind of like freaky and added to the craziness of the
film. It had some tracking issues, which we've never encountered. I mean, VHS will have tracking issues, but this one was pretty rough around the edges.
It was strange, at least for the first like 20 minutes. Like,
which bums me out because it's so rare that I was
know,
like,
it was kinda cool.
But I kind of didn't care at the same time.
Okay, so then we go to the Wet Bandit's baby sister. She's actually, her name is Susie. So she is going to tell her parents who are gardening. What?
I'm going to back you up because you missed an important scene on the plane with Reggie Wanker.
What?
He is having lobster, and he takes the lobster claw and gooses his girlfriend with it.
No, I think that's when he's actually at the place.
Oh, is that after?
Yeah, it's later.
So I really liked that scene.
It was very
not
rude.
The lobster part, but I thought it was funny.
So the Wet Bandit's sister Susie tells the parents she's going to the nerdy party at Debbie's house. And she's dressed very conservatively. The parents are like, good job, baby girl. And then she leaves, and it's a scene of her, like, piles of clothes as she walks down the street. And then she's just wearing a unitard and tights and, like, strutting.
Yeah.
She is
very 80s.
full strutting down the street, curly hair, weirdly looks like the girl that the Wet Bandit is into, which I'm uncomfortable with.
That's interesting. Side story, did you ever do that in the 80s? Did you ever dress a way that you know your parents wouldn't let you go out of the house in?
No, my parents were very encouraging of all of my crazy, weird ideas because they were like, this is all ways that we ensure that our daughter doesn't have like a teen pregnancy, because all of my ideas were bizarre. Just like,
because you dressed like you thought you were an 80-year-old lady when you were in elementary school. That kind of bizarre. Mm-hmm. And you were convinced that you looked like a legit old lady.
No, that's no, that was the time I tried to convince my small town in Montana that I was an old lady.
Okay.
I had a perm and I put on blue eyeshadow and I made myself look overweight.
That was your definition of old?
Blue eyeshadow.
I think a church lady was your only example.
Super red lipstick. I borrowed some of my mom's clothes, stuffed some like, you know, other clothes down my pants and in the belly part of my clothes. And then I actually walked downtown and tried to buy like stuff at a store. And I genuinely thought they didn't recognize me.
I, in the 80s, saw that on movies, they were doing this a lot. This was kind of the thing in the 80s, was to dress a certain way, and then as soon as you left the house, you took off your clothes to reveal that you were like dressed really cool. And I saw that that was happening in movies in the 80s, and I wanted to do that. But my parents did not care how I dressed.
No.
And I was sent to the principal constantly for my like metal shirts, like my pentagram shirts. Definitely. But I wanted to have that experience, even though I knew my parents didn't care. So I wore, what was it? It was like a Nightmare on Elm Street shirt. I had a Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2 shirt for a long time, but it was either that or it was a like a Dio shirt. And then I put a button-up shirt over it, and I walked, and as I was going towards the bus stop by myself, I took my button-up shirt off to reveal my rock shirt underneath.
Aww.
I was probably like third grade.
That's
and
so
I thought
cute.
I was so cool.
I would have thought you were cool.
Even though my parents did not care at all because they were checked out. But
I would have been super intimidated by your coolness.
It was funny because I thought it was super cool.
It was. It was, babe.
Okay, so back to Ed Begley's...
He's meeting with the investors.
Which are Middle Eastern and Asian, stereotypes.
Pretty rough. 80s.
And they're walking around. Then he has this miniature of the Saturn, the theater. And he goes, let me show you what my plan is. And then he pushes a button and the miniature blows up.
It's an important explosion.
It's really cool. And then from the explosion and the ashes of the miniature, this giant high-rise tower like goes up on hydraulics. And I, as I was watching this, was laughing and thinking, if I was in a pitch and this guy did this, I would green light it in a second.
Throw like, all of your
this
money.
This guy's got it. Mm-hmm. He's got a certain something.
Here are all of our hundreds.
Yeah.
And then finally, it's showtime. It's time to start this party.
This is the treat.
This is what we waited for.
Not only the party starting, but the song that's playing.
What's playing?
It's the title track, Get Crazy.
Oh, yeah.
By Sparks, one of our favorite
bands. Get Crazy.
And we were like, it's Sparks.
Yes.
Yeah. So excited. I wish they were in the film.
So a bunch of people rush in because they're all soups jazzed to come to the show. The security is checking everybody. They have an enormous pile of booze, weed, guns, torpedoes, surfboards. There's one person who is just dressed as a giant joint.
Yeah, that's what I wrote. It's a giant joint walking around. Also, my note was it's everyone who's ever lived in the 80s ever is at this place.
It's like a roll call.
It
1980s roll call.
So funny. And then the giant joint walking around.
And then there's actually crowd surfing. Somebody has a surfboard on the crowd and is crowd surfing.
Dude, I love this movie so much.
And then there was some confusion. And what is... I don't know. It's not necessarily offensive, but maybe it is. And so the King of Blues, Blues King, required a band, but they got confused and they had a Jews band.
Yeah, instead of a blues band.
So it's a bunch of Orthodox Jews
who play the blues.
Who play the blues well, quite well.
They're
and
really
he's
good.
The blues king is cool with it. He says, "You guys, the kid cool driving the car," and then a random drummer is
the guy who stole the drugs at the beginning from the doctor. He's like a stagehand. He works for the theater
and he gets to play drums,
but he's like,
King,
you
got to
get up there and play drums. So he's now going to play drums for the blues band with the Jews blues band. Yeah.
And so, and then we also learn Uncle Max is not gonna die. Like right at this point.
Oh, back up. Do you know why the guy had to play drums?
Why?
Because the drummer went to kiss his girlfriend before he was going to get on stage, but he had braces and she had braces and their braces got stuck and they were like, oh, this isn't going to work.
Somebody else
play drums. And that's why the guy got to go play drums.
That's right. And then we learn Uncle Max is not going to die. Also,
he just had bad food.
Just sort of randomly, a biker gang wants in.
Which you said, is that Meatloaf?
Anytime there's a biker gang in a movie, it's obviously Meatloaf. I don't know if it was, but it was.
And then we flash back to Wanker. He's just doing his thing. And then the first band, or the next band comes on.
Well, before that, the nephew sets a small fire that starts smoldering.
Is that here?
Yep. And he tries to escape because he set the place on fire, like a bathroom, just a very small fire. And he tries to escape, goes to the door, and then he opens it and there's a biker gang there who's
going to
kick his butt. Yep. Also, there's a dog in sunglasses. I mean, I'm just kind of bullet pointing it at this point because it's so crazy.
It get crazy.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of people waving their lighters. There's a fire shot. I think it's all just kind of leading up to or hearkening back to the fire marshal's rules of things he didn't want to have happen.
Yeah, and we'll get a bathroom scene later. But before that happens,
that's when Nada comes on
and it blew our minds. You and I both looked at each other like, I just wrote, this is the perfect 80s band.
Yes.
I know this is supposed to be a spoof, but I don't think it was at all.
Yeah.
This is literally the coolest 80s band I've ever seen in my life.
The lead singer is dressed sort of like, what's her name? The Hey Mickey lady?
Yeah. Oh, good one. I was trying to think about that.
But like a punk version of her.
What's her name?
I don't know.
Oh, that's so crazy that I spaced it. Anyway, I have it that it's like the Go-Go's punk ska meets the Runaways with a little bit of Bow Wow Wow. Like, it's everything in there.
And then that one chick, she's playing saxophone and she's got the perfect, like, rounded, I don't want to say it's a quiff, but
she would be in Gary Newman's band. And she would be like Klaus Anomi, like, you know that?
Anomi, yeah.
Whatever his name was, lightning striking again. Mm-hmm. She would be in his band for sure.
She plays saxophone. She's the best.
Dude, this whole band is the best. All female.
The drummer is like ripped and tearing it up.
Oh, she's doing like metal drumming too with like flipping her sticks. Mm-hmm. And later,
actually is pumping iron just casually.
The lead singer's in a marching band outfit.
Mm-hmm.
I this is my favorite band.
It's so good. Watch this movie just for this. Nada, best band that ever wasn't. And then we do a shot of the men's room where the wet bandit is like, I'm going in. And
it's in with fishing waders.
Yeah, and rightfully so, because it's flooded and there's a bunch of like weirdos peeing into the, you know, urinals.
But it's like knee deep and there's a shark. There's a shark fin going around in knee deep water.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Rastafarian smoking everybody out in one of the stalls.
Yeah, it's like a buck for a hit or something. And then, then we go to a weird random scene of Ed Begley Jr., who has a mouse inside of a dollar sign maze. Just like
that was funny.
Random shot of that. And then back to the Nada concert where they finally release
Piggy
who had been chained up prior to.
He gives an epic performance.
Yes.
And it's just basically like,
He just screams, and then people start jumping off the balcony.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Then there's an explosion, and the drug guy appears again. Whatever.
Oh yeah, what was his name?
I don't know. Let me look.
Forgot. Electric Larry.
Oh my gosh. Can we name our next dog Electric Larry?
Yes, 100%. Okay. We can name our next dog Electric Larry.
And then it's time for Wanker to play.
Well, Electric Larry puts some drugs in the
water cooler.
And everybody starts drinking it because the fire inspector.
Oh yeah, he drinks it. And then he's cool with all the fire, I guess.
And he sprays out the giant joint who's walking around with the fire repellent. Okay, then we get Malcolm McDowell, who is, what's his name, Wanker?
Reggie Wanker.
Reggie Wanker.
Oh, and they also were like, dude, no fireworks.
Yeah. And Reggie Wanker gets on, so he's kind of like a former glam rock singer, who is, by the way, singing his own songs.
Yes!
And it's so good.
He's so good. I loved it.
He has so much charisma on stage. I would have loved to have seen him in concert.
How many films has that dude been in? Like 1,000?
I don't know, but the lyrics are like, Hot Stuff is the name of the song. Mm-hmm. And it's just him bragging about how awesome he is. Mm-hmm. Every line is hilarious. I only wrote down one.
Okay.
Because I couldn't keep track because
I
was laughing.
I'm going to brace myself.
One is, don't I fill you with love because I'm a miracle of evolution.
Oh, that's so good.
He's so funny.
Oh, I hope he wrote great. That.
This is worth the film alone, like to see Malcolm McDowell performing as Reggie Wanker.
Yes, I agree. Also, we should mention that Ed Begley Jr.'s like minions or whatever tell Max's nephew that they want him to plant a stink bomb. It's not a real bomb.
It's a stink bomb.
Yeah, and they're going to sabotage the show to get him to sign the lease.
Everybody will smell horrible and you'll come out smelling like roses.
Oh, did they say that or did you just improvise?
No, it was something like that.
Okay.
But all the while, there's this insane drum solo that's happening from John Densmore of The Doors. His name's Toad in the film. He's the drummer of Reggie Wanker. It's so airplane because he's drumming so hard that he's profusely pouring water off the top of his head. Like he's
like
sweating.
Eating chicken legs and drumming with them.
So funny.
Also, Susie, the sister of the Wet Bandit, gets on stage and kisses Wanker, but the brother pulls her off stage. Also, Max's nephew sets the stink bomb in place. The fire marshal tries to stop Wanker's fireworks, but he ends up knocked out. That was actually before the fire marshal drank the drug water.
Yeah, because now he's drugged up.
As did Max's nephew.
Yeah, he's drugged up. And Reggie now. He gets off stage and Reggie takes a drink too because he's all like tired.
Yeah,
he gets a drink of the water cooler and now he's drugged up, which will really take us into the third act.
Also, Max's nephew turns into a hippie when he drinks the drugged water and basically just joins the 1960s hippie. And he goes, possessions are a bummer. And I was like, for real, I relate so hard.
Then we get to
and
Lou
he
Reed.
Throws his watch too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We get to Lou Reed, who is still trying to make his way to the show.
Okay.
And he's singing We're Late for the Show is the name of the song that he's writing in the back of the cab. So that's what's happening. And then do you have anything between now and then? Because we're about to get to the big scene.
Ed Begley Jr. Captures a hair babe. Someone gives Wanker a turtle in a fridge. So there's a girl in the audience.
Oh, yeah, I knew you were going to write that down.
She hands him a turtle and goes, this is for you. It's from me. So she hands him a turtle.
While he's performing. It's kind of like if people like throw their shirt on stage. But
this is for you.
She hands
him
a turtle.
And then the next thing she does is hands him a fridge. This is for you.
A refrigerator gets pushed on stage. And she's like, it's from me.
The Blues King smokes pot with a hippie and floats away. Reggie, having had the water, goes to the dressing room with a bunch of ladies during that extended drum solo and starts like just freaking with all of these ladies.
You took so many more notes than I did on this, because there was way too much happening for me to keep notes.
So his Reggie Wanker's girlfriend gets upset and then goes and, I guess, retaliates by sleeping with this dorky kid that's a stagehand who's had a minor role throughout the whole thing, but isn't really worth mentioning otherwise.
He's so good in the film.
Yes. And then that's when I get to Lou Reed in a taxi. And
oh, wow. Okay.
The taxi collides with Ed Begley Jr., who has captured the hair babe. The hair babe being the triangle hair babe.
Yeah.
And she escapes.
We'll call her Rugrat, even though she wasn't in Rugrats.
She actually knows about the bomb, the okay. stink bomb.
Oh, that's right.
And that's
she
why,
overheard.
Yeah. So that's why she's been captured, I guess. So she goes, gets the police. Wanker is still with the ladies. There's a drum solo still going on.
Yeah, it is.
It like cuts
really
scene to
long.
Scene to scene to scene. And then Wanker comes back in, and then he sings a sad version of Hot Shot.
Oh, yeah, it's like a slowed down, tragic version because he realizes that his girlfriend has slept with this other woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's really funny.
And then he goes, drinks some more water, goes into the bathroom.
Yes.
And gets a pep talk from his peen.
Okay, so are you ready? Because I've been waiting. I've been holding on to this with great anticipation.
Okay.
There is a fun fact about this scene.
The penis scene?
The bathroom where he's talking to his penis and the mm-hmm. penis is like got a little voice and he's like,
yes.
He ends up becoming his manager at
yes,
the end.
Yes, we'll get to that.
So apparently Malcolm McDowell did not read the whole script. And did not know about this scene
mm-hmm.
and found out while he was on set, somebody came up and said, dude, how have you prepped for talking to your penis later on? And he said, what?
Why did I say yes to this?
And that's how he found out and then read the script and realized that later in the movie he was going to be talking to his own penis.
I mean, considering the flavor of this movie, he had to be fairly
aware. The whole scene. Okay, normally I would have said this is stupid, but the bathroom scene with him and his talking penis is, which you don't see. I mean, it's not like crude or anything.
No, you don't. Well, it's super crude, but you don't see anything.
You don't see anything, but it actually played so well in this film. It made me laugh, especially at the end. We'll get there.
Meanwhile, they're trying to find this bomb, which has been placed, but it's in the rocket that Max has decided to ride. The rocket blasts off, and he's notified via a headset that he's got a bomb on board his rocket.
This is the rocket at the beginning of the film that he is practicing on to ride into the 1983 big letters
like
for the New Year's party.
End of the year countdown.
Because this
thing.
Is it. This is the countdown.
And so Max says, great. Got it. He tosses it into the crowd. And then the crowd kind of like tosses it around like a crowd
like
would.
A beach ball.
And then it ends up being thrown straight into Ed Begley Jr.'s limo.
And it blows up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it's over.
That's it's the New Year's party. It's like it's an epic New Year's party. And then we get to Lou Reed, who arrives. Everybody leaves. Like they party.
The Blues keep. King, their band leaves, Nada, everybody gets
everybody
back
leaves.
In. This is when we learn that there's a new manager for Reggie Wanker and his band, and it's Reggie Wanker's penis. Does Piggy catch a bullet in his teeth?
Yes, they shoot through the door, and then Piggy catches the bullets in his teeth. There's also when Reggie Wanker turns around and John Densmore from the Doors comes in, who Toad, his drummer,
mm-hmm.
comes in and he says, let me introduce you to our new manager. And he's talking to his penis. And he said, well, don't just, you know, like sit there, give him a drink, and makes John Densmore pour mm-hmm. a drink towards his penis to give him a drink to celebrate that's their new manager. It's so stupid. And then Lou Reed arrives and he's like, oh, I'm too late. And walks in, and then...
And the theater, or the space, the club, is mostly empty at this point.
Yeah, and this is when Max is like, I survived all this, this is crazy, and gives the Wet Bandit the deed to the like the rights, lease. the lease to the building, and gives him the building. So mm-hmm. he and his girlfriend are going to take it over.
Because Triangle Hair is now his girlfriend yep. after one night. They're in a deep relationship.
And then it ends with him and Triangle Hair, like in a jungle outfit.
Back to that fantasy of yeah. her wearing negligee and him wearing a Tarzan outfit holding a chimpanzee.
And it ends, and then it goes to credits, but then we get a little post-credit after yeah. a little while. It comes back in, and it's Lou Reed performing for
Susie, the sister.
The sister, who is the biggest fan. And she's sitting there, and he's just sitting on the stage performing a song for her solo. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's such a great ending. And that's the film. And I mean, what do you even say about it?
It was chaotic, but I loved it. I would absolutely watch it again.
I would watch it with friends. It would be one of those ones that I would want to show to friends.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fun to watch. And now that I know the pacing and the style of the film, I think yeah. I would enjoy it even more, because the first half of it, I was kind of like, this is crazy. I can't keep up.
Yeah, from a podcasting perspective, we're trying to take notes, and you're like, there's no continuity. It's like an explosion. There's a chimpanzee. There's, you know, Ed Begley Jr.
It makes no sense. Yeah, but
why is Ed Begley Jr. wearing so much silver?
I don't know.
That's my takeaway.
Well, it was fun. I had a really good time. This was a pleasant surprise. Both of us had never seen it. Mm-hmm. The way in which we found this was, I was just at a thrift store, and it was sitting there on uh-huh. the shelf. The title looked interesting, and I opened it, or like pulled it out, and then saw the cover of the woman riding the guitar. And I read that tagline that you read at the beginning.
Say goodbye to your brain.
And I thought, oh yes, I will definitely, because I'll grab stuff that's 80s exclusively for this podcast. And it's a nice mix of us doing episodes on things that we like grew up on mm-hmm. and then doing things that we have never experienced before. And this is one of those. And this was a very pleasant surprise. Mm-hmm. And I love that we watched it, because it was so much fun to watch.
It was super classic. I'm shocked that I've never even heard of it, because it's so thoroughly good.
It definitely needs to be re-released onto a wider audience. I wish more people could see it.
Let's start a petition.
Let's do. Hey, yeah.
Let's get the Wet Bandit as the first signature.
Yeah. Speaking of petitions.
Daniel Stern,
the Wet
Let's
Bandit.
Let's start a Daniel Stern fan club.
Let's tag him in our post.
Let's tag him in everything we do from now on.
Okay. Speaking of getting involved, will you please, if you like what you hear, rate, review, subscribe. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We're on Podbean, Laser Graves. We are also on Instagram. You can follow us at Laser Graves. I am at EK Wimmer on Instagram.
I am at Mariah Rose Wimmer.
Tootsie Roll at Instagram. And
no!
You are. And
fail.
Just, you know, give us a little rating. It helps us go up, and we're trying to spread the word. Tell your friends if they dig 80s stuff. Mm-hmm. And to those of you who have been listening and new listeners, thank you so much.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week. I'm not sure what we're back with, but it's 80s, as always. And this week was fun. I was excited to talk about this one. Mm-hmm. So we'll see you again next week.
All right. Say goodbye to your brain.